welcome to the 17th Manx Sporty Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, Bron.
Are joined by Colby skipper Ollie Swales and goalkeeper Matthew Coogee. Lads, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for coming in. It's a grey day, Dave.
It's a very grey day.
I don't really want to take too much away from Dave Reed's weather, but it is grey. I think that's a fair statement, isn't it? Anyone that's got a window could say that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Matthew, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Ollie, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us as well.
We were just discussing off air. This is our third Colby podcast, so to speak, isn't it? We've had such alumni in as Marty Moore and Chris McKenna in the first
Colby
season.
Legends.
Colby legends. See, Marty's still turning out with his dodgy knees. And who did we have last season? Ash Blake and Big Jew and Big, wasn't it? So the third edition of the Moonlighters. I'm going to have to come up with a new title. I think I used that in season two. But that's sort of actually a very good question. Ollie, where did the Moonlighters come from?
I'm going to be honest, don't know. it's come from somewhere in the last few seasons, I think, Gredge. And I think there's a story behind it, but I don't know what it is. So won't want to sort of elaborate any more on this.
So when you obviously took over the captaincy, that wasn't one of the first. You didn't have to go and study the history of the club.
There was no test, because I reckon I'd probably failed if that was the case.
Another question I haven't written down, Craig, I was going to ask, was you seem to be the subject of one of the chants of Manx football, isn't it? We hate Colby. And I don't know why, because you're a nice bunch of lads, as far as I could see.
Well, I thought so as well. I do. Ask Danny Gerrard. He always starts that chant wherever he goes. Don't understand it, to be honest.
But it's only sort of the last 5 years. It's usually Corinthians that wind up, isn't it?
Yeah, do you think it's just jealousy because Gerrard can't get into the team or something? What do you think it is?
Well, we'll have to ask him next time. Yeah. Well, obviously, we've got you in to discuss Colby's season in the best league in Europe, Dave, JCK Division 2.
Oh, without a doubt, mate.
We bang that drum every week, don't we? You think someone had told us to shut up by now, but it is the best league in Europe.
Well, people tell us to shut up every week, mate. Yeah.
And of course, what we've got you in is also to look ahead to Saturday's ECAP. FA Cup side with Douglas Athletic. But before all that excitement, it's time with the biscuits. Right, Dave, went over the garage.
You did, as always.
You got the Kit Kats in, lad. Now, lads, we had the Penguins last week, didn't we? I see these in the same sort of grouping.
Are they a bar or a biscuit? What do you class them as?
Ollie, do you think it's a biscuit? Or
I think a biscuit, yeah.
I'd go with a biscuit. Craig?
Yeah, biscuit. If you go chunky, though, that's more of a bar.
Yes. Ooh, yeah, it's a bit like a Twix, because you get a mini Twix for one, but I say two is a chocolate bar. Would you agree with that? Is that sort of...
I think that's first.
Yeah, I always like these because of the... Oh, that's such a satisfying sound, isn't it?
Better than listening to us talk for an hour, isn't it? Yeah.
Shall we just rustle some papers then?
No, just crack on. People love the noise. Last week we were particularly noisy eaters, I did remember.
Just what we do. Just fill the air with noise, so it's good.
Right. We've had enough about the biscuits, although we could go on for hours.
We could,
Time to talk about the football. Now, Craig, I suppose we should start by looking ahead to Saturday's FA Cup tie with Top Flight Athletic. Can you sniff a cup set? Mr. Norton tipped, were you sort of in the Independent this week? He says it. The shots on the card.
I reckon it's the biggest chance for a cup set this week.
Is that what you boys are thinking?
No, we think that on our day we can give anyone a good game, so that's always a start. I think the games we've had with them over the last few seasons have always been pretty close. So we're in good form at the moment. We haven't lost for a couple of months, so definitely we're confident going into it.
Was it a case when the draw came, it was whoever you were going to, you didn't really think about it too much, or did you think, oh, so the Athletic mid-table, you know, they've had some good results this season, obviously they beat St. George's and stuff, but they drew with Kurt Michael in the previous round. Did you think, all right, we've got a chance there, getting maybe onto the next round?
I think always in the back of your mind, you think, oh, we do have a chance there, but we're just taking every game each week and just think about preparing all week,
just concentrate on your own game.
Exactly.
Ollie, obviously you go into the on good form as well, don't you? We talked about just before we started recording about the result of Uni Mills in recent weeks, but you're top of the league at the moment. But I have to keep glancing at JCK Division 2. It changes almost by the hour. But you had a good result last week as well, so you go into it in good fettle, really, don't you?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think so certainly at home as well, I think that's an advantage for us. Bigger pitch, you know, we like to play on a bigger pitch up at their place. It's a bit tighter and a bit less space. Like Craig said, we've had some pretty close results to them recently. We haven't played them for a couple of years, obviously, because we've been in different divisions. But and there's no reason why we can't win this game. I mean, it's a bit of a free hit for us as well, being the FA Cup, because, I mean, realistically, I'm not sure it's sort of top of our agenda sort of like this season, but it's always nice to win. It's always nice to keep momentum, and yeah, I think we've got a good chance.
Let's talk about the season as a whole, Ollie, because obviously, as we said, you're top of the league. Is that where you expected it to be? You know, when you took on the armband at the start of the season or whatever, did you think, all right, let's give it a good go for promotion this year?
I mean, yeah, with the squad we've got, there's no reason why I didn't think we'd be up there. Mm. I mean, like I said, we have played a couple more games than a few other teams, so sort of once the table evens itself out, I mean, you'll get more of a reflection on where we are exactly. But again, teams around us have got to play each other as well. So, but no, I mean, I certainly think with the squad we have and with the way we're playing and sort of with experience we have as well, I think I certainly thought we're going to be in the mix, definitely.
Craig, you know, Ollie just said you've played a couple of games more than most, but is it better to be the grey hand or the hare in this situation? You're the one that people are aiming for at the moment. Would you prefer to have the points on the board, or would you prefer to be the one chasing down the lead?
No, I think definitely at this point have the points on the board, because you see teams like Foxdale, they're like 5 games behind already, and it gets to the point towards the end of the season where people's commitments aren't quite as strong to playing each week and midweek as well.
Yeah, yeah. So two or three games a week sometimes,
exactly.
Isn't it?
So having the points there and the pressures on the other teams who are then going to be playing each other in the games in hand. So I think we're in a decent position at the moment.
And I was probably going to bring this up a bit later. We'll talk about it now. But I was down at your pitch the other week watching the Uni Mills game, and you've got a fantastic facility down there, and the pitch seems pretty bulletproof. How much of an advantage is that? Because if we look at Foxdale, as you've already mentioned, they're playing catch-up already. I think they've only played 3 home games this season, haven't they?
Yeah.
Something like that. It enables you to carry that momentum on, doesn't it, when you can get a game on pretty much every week, doesn't it?
No, absolutely, yeah. Air are the only team we've not played so far this season. We've managed to get every other game on. We haven't had any postponed at our place. Obviously, if we can't play on our preferred pitch, there's 2 other pitches at the club to make use of, so the vast majority of times we've got a game ahead, so we're able to like keep the momentum going.
When I was down the other week, Ollie, one thing that shocked me was how quick those trees are growing up, because you know, when I think when they were first planted, I think flipping heck, going to be here for ages before there's a bit of a shelter, but those pine trees or whatever they are growing up really quick, aren't they?
I mean, apparently they are fast growing, that's what was said at the time. But
I was going to ask what Dickie is putting in the compost.
I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not sure they're making a lot of difference, because when the wind comes in, it's still pretty windy down there, and it gets tricky very quickly.
Right, but it is a great facility, and you've got 3 pitches, which...
Yeah, and the new stand, don't forget.
Yeah, the Roy Dixon stand as well, you know, which is... You must have now probably having a few more fans down watching when the weather's not as good.
There's certainly a few in the stand. I mean, I can't say it's full every week, but... there's definitely a few down, you know, as well as the regulars who like to stand on the sideline. But going back to the pitchers, though, I mean, we've actually managed to get a few games moved from away from the venues down to ourselves this season.
Like the Mills game, that was meant to be a game.
Mills game
was
supposed to be away.
It?
I think we played St John's down at our place and Rycob as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that just felt like it's a win-win for both teams, really, because it helps get the game on. Everyone wants to play as often as they can. So, I mean, obviously, less travelling for us, I guess, which is a bit of an advantage. And we're used to the pitch. But, yeah, I mean, that's nice. I mean, you can get both teams on at the same time.
Craig, obviously, you said you've played everyone now, all apart from Air, which you're obviously...
Yeah.
And you're top of the league. Is it time to start putting the neck out now and say, right, I think we can get up now this season? Or is it just, as you said before, take it one game at a time?
I think we've still got 8 or 9 games left, so there's a long way to go. We've still got... Like you say, Air to play twice, Foxdale away in the next couple of weeks, St John's again, that's going to be away after they moved it down to our place. So we still got a lot of tough games, and we just have to keep on going. And
who else has impressed you this season? Who else do you think will possibly be in that top 2?
I know they've not played as many games, but Foxdale gave us a really good game down at our place. We only scored a last minute winner. To beat them 1-0. St John's were strong as well. That was a tough 1-1.
But there's about half 7 teams, I think. I say every week, there's 7 teams capable of getting into that top 2 at the moment, especially when you throw Foxdale into the mix, because you think, oh, they're a bit far adrift. But as you boys have said, they've got so many games in hand that if they win them, they're suddenly back in the mix, aren't
they? Absolutely,
I think we mentioned, obviously, we've talked about a lot, like Air have got the likes of Sean Kelly and what have you, but we have to mention Carl Hickey, you know, defender turned striker extraordinaire, bagging them in for fun every single week. I mean, that must be such a huge boost for the team.
No, it is. It definitely is. I mean, sort of like it takes burden off from other people. I mean, he's got so many already. I mean, is it 32 and 12 or something
like that? Yeah,
I mean, it's very impressive, you know what I mean? So, like I said, he has the physical attributes as well, which help him, but I mean, the team around him obviously gives him plenty of chances in the game, and he's good enough to put them away, so yeah, very happy with that.
And was it a masterstroke from Fretty to stick him up front, or were you short one week and you thought, oh, go on, Carl, go up top?
I mean, I think it was probably a bit of both. I mean, obviously, Fretty took over last year. Carl came back into the fold part of the way through last year. Sort of, he was playing in midfield at Malou at the time, but so I think it was one of those where we were a bit short up front, and then we stuck him up there. I know he'd been chatting a few seasons that he wanted to go up there, and we gave him a go, and sort of the results have come.
And talking about players that you've maybe changed positions slightly this year, when I watched you against Mills the other week, which is a great win, you were talking about how you ground that out, and it was, you did play well, but I thought Jordan Primrose-Smith played well at right back, and he was a striker only a couple of seasons ago, wasn't it, Craig? You know, is this something that Freddie's specialising in? Maybe we'll be up front next season?
I wouldn't go that far. Jordy's done very well since dropping back to right back. He owns that right wing, just up and down, and his defensive attributes have improved a lot this season as well. So,
and he seems to link well with Furby on that right wing, Daniel Thirlwell. They seem to have some sort of like almost telepathic link where one would go or one would stay and stuff. So it was, that's a nice little partnership. Seems to be developing as well, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's the same with everyone really. Everyone works really well together. We've got a good group down there, a good solid group of like 16 or 17 who are all going for a place in the team, and like anyone who has to fill in a particular position or fill in for someone while they're away, they've come in and done a great job. So it's really good to play with this bunch at the moment.
And Ollie, would you say it helps having such a settled squad? You know, we look at some of the other teams, and I think Ayres, particularly at the start of the season, there was weeks where it was a totally different team one week to the next, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
But Colby, you seem to be able to almost name a sort of core eight every week, and then a couple maybe more drop in and out around that, don't they?
No, I think so. I mean, like Craig said, we've probably got 16 or 17 that are fighting for what is essentially 14 places per week, which is a nice tab. It's disappointing for the guys that don't make it into the team. But yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're picking 8, 9 of the same players every week, people get used to playing with each other. It does help that we've had sort of a similar squad now for quite a while. A lot of us have been playing together for a long time, so we do know what each other can and can't do to a certain extent. So yeah, I mean, definitely that is helping. And I think that's showing in the results, and sort of like, again, the games when we're maybe having to grind out a result rather than playing fluently, we're managing to do that as well.
We defended very well against Union Mills in that first half. We've talked about their attacking riches, and that day they had Jordan, Luke Booth, who had the Union Market for the first half, and then I thought that the big tall lad Jack Murray kept you the back four honest as well. He just kept running as well, so they are an attacking side, but defensively you look very sound. Is that another element to your game that perhaps maybe some of the other teams don't have? That
I mean, certainly more than say the other positions within the team, they're settled. The back four, back five has been quite settled for a long time. I mean, we had a bit of a revolving door early doors at right back. We've had a couple of guys play there, but like I said, Jordan's settled in there now for the last sort of probably 3 or 4 games, done really well. Played there last year at Malou quite a bit as well, so sort of knew what he was doing. And it certainly does help having that back five in place quite a lot, because again, what I said before, everyone kind of knows what they can and can't do, everyone knows roughly where to be, and sort of it's a good unit to be playing.
So Craig, you know, if all the stars align, you know, you manage to get out of the greatest league in Europe and you do go up, do you think you can stay there beyond the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the teams over the last couple of years have found it difficult in the first division, just getting the team together, never mind.
Yeah, Paul Rose is an example. They've got no combi this season.
Never mind playing each week. And I think since Fretty's come in and taken charge, we've been a lot more solid. Nobody's given us a good hiding. We've been competitive in every game. We gave St Mary's a good game last year in the Cup semi-final. I'm not saying we'd go out and beat them every week, but we're very competitive. We keep going all the way to the end. So I've got no doubt that we could stay up if we...
And do you think you'd attract a few in the summer if you did get Premier League football next season?
You'd like to think so, but Colby always seems like a difficult place to... apparently everyone hates Colby.
So the people say.
But there's a train stop right outside. You know, it could be more convenient.
Exactly, train stop. Like some of the best facilities. Like you'd like to think that more people would be attracted to come down.
I think the issue recently has always been that Rushen is very close.
Yeah.
And sort of they've been competing higher up in the first division. So when players come available and they decide that they want to change clubs, that's probably the first place that they would look rather than ourselves. But again, it's on us then to sort of get promoted, get into the top division, stay in the top division, and then be able to compete at that level to get these players.
Fantastic. Right, on to the questions have been set in, Dave. We've had our usual gamut, haven't we?
We have, yes. We've got the first one in from Alex Hullock.
Centre-half. Yeah. Sorry, bearded centre-half now. I think he's come back travelling. I think we had him last week. It was Andy Ball was talking about. Fellow Leeds fan, I think. Andy Ball was talking about his beard last week. I didn't recognise him when I turned up the other week. He looks like someone out of the jungles of Borneo. But anyway, I know we should also talk about it. Colby have a sort of, I was going to say breeding, but that's not the right word. I have a lot of well-bearded gentlemen in their lineup at the moment. Daniel Thirlwell, we've already mentioned him. His beard must take a good half an hour of maintenance every day, I'd suggest. Is he in the showers after with a cap over it, or has he got the beard oil out?
If he turns up on the right day.
But yeah, Mr. Hullock asks, Dave.
Yeah, question four, as he describes, our evergreen left-back Oliver Swales. Ollie claims to be 30, but we all know he's actually 60. How has football differed since the 1970s, and can his knees still keep up with the pace of the game?
I mean, I'm not quite sure I'm quite 60. the body might say different, but I'm a little bit older these days, so it's sort of not probably as fast as I once was. I was fit, as happens to us all, but still trying my best. That's why I play left back these days. You know what I mean? Get all the younger lads like Hulk to do all the running for me. Yeah. So you get them to stand next to me and get them to cover.
But I remember speaking to you a few years ago when you were talking about retiring from the game.
I've been retiring for the best part of a decade. it's one of those, like every year, you know, sort of like get a new injury and sort of something else hurt and sort of you go, do I fancy it again? But like I said, it's a good crack and the boys are good fun and still managing to just about do it, so why not?
Good. Next question's in from one of our old Castown Sea colleagues, Ryan Tasker, the only man I've ever seen, I was going to say the equivalent of cautioned in the cricket match, St John's for bowling bounces at a 12-year-old, which is probably justified. Yeah, he asks, Matthew, rumour has it that you have a new special lady in your life. How has this affected your training schedule and performance on the pitch? Now, I'm going to answer my Matthew's behalf for half of that question, because on the pitch, you look pretty solid against Union Mills, so if that's the effect, keep it up. But what about, have you been distracted from training? Or?
I don't know, Tuesday night's free every week.
Not date night, then.
No. She knows, nothing gets in the way of football.
He also asks, it's a bit of breaking news, he says, also, what will Bruno bring to United? And obviously, the Bruno Fernandes transfer, the most drawn out transfer since Dave left Laxey under 16 to sign for Derby. It's seemingly a done deal, isn't it, Craig? Obviously, you're a big Man United fan.
Yeah, I hope so. He's, from his stats, he looks like he could. Well, I think anybody could contribute to United's midfield at the moment, but Ollie could do a job.
I think that's a bit harsh. Harsh on Ollie, that, to be honest. He's no Luke Shaw, but you know.
No, get my United team, no problem.
Hopefully, it brings some form of a boost for the second half of the season, because it's not been great watching.
Transfer fee was 52 or something like
that. Wasn't it?
52 million is ridiculous, isn't it?
You know? But it's nothing compared to some of the other transfer fees these days.
Yeah, fair play.
Also, at the same time, they were covering over 6-7 million or something. You know, what I mean? Just pay the money, buy the guy if you want.
It's 6-7 million to Man United, is it?
Yeah,
it's not
pocket money, isn't it? Yeah.
Next question, Dave.
Yeah, it's coming from Steve Kelly. Question for you, Ollie. Yep. Somehow you haven't been sin-binned every week. Have you mellowed towards referees in your old age?
I mean, I think sort of going back to being the skipper these days, I think that's probably actually helped quite a lot. There seems to be a reputation that I'm a bit hot-headed, you know, in years gone by. I'm not sure where I've quite got that from. My disability record is quite good, actually. But I think I've been sin-binned once a season. I would say unjustly, but we won't get.
I'm looking at Craig for was it?
A shake of the head.
All right, okay, so it was pretty.
That's a bit harsh. Yeah.
But I do think that. I mean, I think. Being the captain of the season, I think got to set the example, you know, sort of keep a calm head, because, I mean, if anything is kicking off, I'm the one that's going to be told to sort it out. So yeah. I think, probably mellowed a bit, and the captain has helped.
We had a question from obviously one of the former Colby guests we had in, from June Convig. He said, what are your thoughts on the introduction of Sin Bin? So we'll go with you, Ollie. first?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea in terms of, because referees do get unnecessarily abused for decisions, things at the end of the day, they are on their own week in, week out most of the time over here. Mm. At the same time, I think you have to sort of be careful what you use it for. I think, for instance, what the example we had there, I mean, that was me trying to not say something to the referee, and sort of I still got simbin for it, and I thought that was a little bit unjust. But so I think in terms of the verbal and the sort of like the altercations with the referee, I think it's good for that side of it, definitely.
Craig, have you noticed an improvement? Me and Dave talked about this, so we think there's been a lack, well, not a lack, a drop in dissent this season because of it. Would you agree?
No, I would agree. I think it's been used quite well on the whole. I just think there just needs to be a little bit more consistency with it sometimes. Right. Like sometimes someone will get a warning for saying something to the ref, and then like the other team, their player won't get a warning,
and it'll be straight to the bin.
Straight to the sin bin. Or there's sort of a reluctance to give them a second sin bin yellow card. For a repeat offence. So I think it's a good idea, just as long as it remains consistent.
I think it's going to help the flow of the game a little bit as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because people aren't there sort of back-chatting every decision, sort of questioning every decision. You're kind of thinking, well, if I do, I'm probably going to get sin binned, so there's no point. You get back in position, you do your job for the team. I think, flow of the game and maybe...
Well, the example I'm going to give, because obviously I saw it in this game that involved you two, was Jordan Edge. Now, towards the end, he was going off like a firecracker in that match against Union Mills. And Stewie, I don't think could have used the sin bin towards the end of that match, couldn't he? Especially because Jordan, because he had some sort of stand-up row with one of the other Mills lads, doesn't he? But I was going to say, that to me is quite rare this season. And what the other thing I was going to say was Ollie and the rest of the Colby, you players, were trying to rein Jordan in. Yeah. And in past seasons, they would have just been like, you crack on, and nothing's going to happen. But I think that... as you talked about the captain's role, that's become bigger again this season. That tends to be the voice, and you tend to be disciplining your own players almost, isn't it?
And actually, Stewie at the time did say that, look, if I think anything's getting out of hand, I'll come to you first, give you the chance to sort it. And then if I think it's too far straight away, then I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
So I think at that stage, like you said, I mean, I wasn't on the pitch at that point, but I mean, the boys were trying to sort of sort him out. And with it being sort of with another player rather than at the referee, I think that was maybe giving a bit more leeway as well, because they were given as much.
Fair point.
I think he did get booked for the situation anyway. Yeah. So I think maybe the outcome on that one was right.
Right.
We should really ask what the real question is. Do you reckon Dickie will somehow get Simbin from the sidelines at some point in the season?
Well, so he's got a very grand garage now, which he was lurking in at the start. I think he might have seen me now painting the lines or something like that. He was washing down the machine, but yeah, he's a little green car sort of emerged quite towards the end of it. But yeah, he's
sort of a legend,
absolute legend. I didn't venture into the clubhouse. He's still doing the tease at half time as well. Was that someone else's domain?
He's got a couple of ladies do it now. I think I have been for a little while. I think he's still about. He likes to get involved, but and wherever he can. But no, I think he focuses more on the sort of chairman and groundskeeping side of it.
Director of football as well.
Yeah, director of football,
Another question during the sent in was for you. Ollie says, how do you keep yourself looking so youthful? Is it moisturiser?
Oh, I think there's no meaning with that one.
We won't delve too deeply into that.
I'm a young looking man, nothing specific is used. I mean, can't do much about hair, unfortunately. I think someone else mentioned something about I'd had a hair transplant. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think not quite, maybe just getting it cut a little better these days. Nothing specific, but I mean, if I do come across anything, I'll certainly give June some tips. I think he needs it.
Next question's in for you, Craig.
Yeah, this one's in from Daniel Garrett. He asks you, do you prefer your nickname Harry of Creggan when between the sticks?
I'm not really sure what that means, to be honest, so I can't really help you.
I thought you would elaborate on that, but no.
Can't help you.
Well, please do explain further, Daniel, when you do hear this. Final question's in from former Colby Oldboy. I think he's at Uncut now, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Jack Charmy says... Ollie, do you own a right foot?
I do, yes. I mean, mostly it is for standing, but it has occasionally been used, and I would argue it's a decent option for a weaker foot.
One of these days, you're going to surprise people with a 40-yard screamer.
I'm not sure I can kick the ball 40 yards with my left foot. I mean, if I can do a 40-yard right foot, I'll be very pleased with that.
Have you scored this season yet, Ollie?
I haven't. No, the best I did, I hit the bar of the free kick, and that's the best I've done. Yeah. Playing left back these days, you know, much more of an assist man. Take the corners, take the free kick, you know, let Carl do all the scoring. You know what I mean? It's a bit unnecessary if the left back's scoring most of your goals. I think there's something wrong there. But
he says, Craig, have you ever been beaten in a five-a-side goal?
On the odd occasion, maybe.
when we play cricket, Craig, you were obviously a wicketkeeper as well, and you could see that the cat-like reflexes, Dave, were unbelievable.
You were raving about this. Just
I was. Our bowlers tended to bowl quite wide at that period, and Craig very rarely let any get past him to the boundary. But so he's taken those skills and taken it into football.
Must be the way we honed them before coming back to play some football.
Was it football or cricket first, Craig?
Oh, it was always football first, yeah.
Always football. Have you always been at Colby? Because obviously you went travelling for a period, but when you were on Ireland, I take it.
When I was on Ireland, yeah. Been there since, 5 years old.
Wow.
It's been a while now, yeah.
So you're up for your double testimonial soon?
Yeah. I'll be getting the next stand, I hope.
How long have you been there now, Ollie?
Oh, I don't know. Be 20 years, I think.
Bloody
I think
hell.
I was 10 years old when I was playing for Colby. Wow. I might have had a little stray to Laxey for about 20 minutes, I think, of one season. But no, Colby man since moving here. Yeah.
Not a particularly well-trodden path, that is it, Colby to Laxey. Yeah.
No, it was a mistake in my younger years, I think.
Rationalist of youth.
I think so, yeah.
Was it just your sat nav was wrong, Glen Road to Glen Road?
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, I think we still were Glen Road at the time. Yeah.
Right, well, we've got you in. Let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Starting in the ECAP FA Cup first round, Dave. Now, these are the wonderfully 1:45 kickoffs, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly are. We should also mention that the league fixtures have now reverted back to half two as well.
Yes, I saw that tweet from Douglas and District, obviously, our man Dave Matheson's always on the ball, isn't he?
Yes.
He saw that, I think, last night, the day before, and I thought, flipping heck, that's a bit
early. Really, yeah, it's usually not until after half two, isn't it?
Yeah, or closer to when the clocks go back, anyway. But yes, 2:30s. We could be bag advancing a few fixtures at this rate. We're maybe getting the old cars out with the lights on to get them
through. That's it.
But we'll start, obviously, we'll talk about the three Division 2 fixtures that are on Saturday in a minute. But we'll start off with the knockout action. And we're going to start at the Station Fields, aren't we, Dave? And Colby versus Douglas Athletic. Now, we've heard about the boys are fairly confident. Do you think, and you've said in your in the paper today that you're going for Colby?
Well, it's nothing against DAFCA. I've watched DAFCA recently. They did well against Old Boys. I just think that, you know, Colby have got the bit between their teeth. You know, when you've got that momentum, when you've got that winning feeling, as you say, you haven't lost for 2 months. You're flying high and obviously scoring the goals. We mentioned Carl Hickey. Luke Roberts got 4 last week, didn't he? So I think that confidence might just see you through. I think it might go the distance. It might go extra time or something, but I think Colby will edge this.
Ollie, any team news you can sort of leak towards us, or is it all under wraps at the moment?
All the wraps. I get told, like the rest of the lads, when the squad gets put out by the gaffer, so fortunately no squad news to add. I'd like to think it'd be similar to last week, though. Most of the boys were in training this week, so no reason why not.
Craig, obviously your chance to test yourselves against some Premier League strikers. Martin Cowan, a big physical front man. You relishing the challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. Always always enjoy the games against the first division teams when we're not in there, of course. I'm looking forward to it.
Ollie, do you think Adam will change the way he plays at all this week for obviously a Premier League team, or will it just be, as you say, it's a free hit, so he can obviously do?
I think he might look at maybe doing a couple of things. I mean, he hasn't sort of done anything specific, but I mean, like I said, it's a free hit in terms of like the result. But obviously, we'd like to play well anyway, and hopefully get the result. Just going back to sort of what Craig was saying before and earlier, actually, these games are always generally quite tight. I mean, I can't remember one of recent times, maybe going back five years, it wasn't. One goal in it, really, either way. A couple of extra time, cup finals a few years back as well. Generally, it is very close, so I mean, I'd expect that to be the same.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go with you, Dave, and not quite sit on the Dave Nought Memorial fence, but yeah, I think this will be a tight game. I just got to feel, it's the magic of the cup, isn't it, Dave? The magic of the ECAP FA Cup.
I think
Colby might just nick this and then they'll be into the quarter finals, and who knows, they'll get in the next round.
The cup run, yeah.
Game you're going to, Dave. You're off to
hopefully, if the weather allows it.
Yeah. You should probably put a big fat P next to this already. It's Foxdale versus Rushen. Another second-tier team dreaming of a giant killing. Do you think it could happen?
It's possible.
Well, sorry, but if the game goes ahead, do you think it could happen?
Yeah, no, it's possible, but as I alluded to in the preview, I think it's less likely than Colby versus Dafka. I think you look at Fox Taylor in great form. That win last week against Duncan, 7-1, was it, or 7-2?
7-1.
Jay Chatwood banging in the double hat-trick, you know, you can't look past that. But Russian are also flying high, and they'll be hurting after losing that Old Firm match last week. So I do expect them to bounce back, but I think Foxdale will make it difficult for them.
Ollie, obviously the game's at Billy Goat, or Billy Moat Park, depending on who you're talking to. That's a tight pitch, isn't it? Well, that'll play into Foxdale's favour, surely, wouldn't it?
I think so. I mean, like I say, you don't... They obviously play their home games there, and they're used to that pitch. So I think if it was a Russian, I'd certainly be more likely to say that was going to be a Russian to win. Still expect Russian to take it, but certainly at home, Foxdale would be a different proposition.
See extra time in this one, Craig? Or do you think Russian will have enough firepower in the 90?
You'd think Russian would have enough firepower here. I think, like you've all said, up there, if it goes ahead, it'll be a tough game. They were strong against us this season. We had to work really hard for that last minute winner. Very good defensively. But I think Russian will probably just about have enough. Yeah,
I think Foxdale may be having the score sheet in this one though, but I think you're probably right. Maybe a classic Mile Man football 5-3. Right, next game sees Ayr United take on St Mary's up in Andreas. Again, another second division team looking to pull off a shock in this one, Dave. Obviously St Mary's top of the Premier League, sitting fairly pretty, haven't really let off the pedal since winning the title last season, have they?
No, they're just relentless, aren't they? They've got such a classy team there, and you know they're looking well on course again for United. Though they've assembled a talented squad, as I mentioned in the preview, you know they've got three of last season's FA Cup winners in their team in Sean Kelly, Matty Skillicorn, and John Shields. So that experience is there. You know that might help them, and the fact that it is in Andreas obviously does narrow the odds a little bit on that, but I still think the Saints will be too strong.
Ayr United, obviously, another team that are hard to play at home. There's another small pitch. We talk about it pretty much every week, but it's right next to the school, isn't it? It's really tight.
Yes.
That'll stop St Mary's playing their expansive football, and it may just give the Ayr a chance, won't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, again, with Ayr, it depends on the availability, as you said earlier. I mean, when they've got their strongest 11 out, they're a match for a lot of teams, even first division teams, I would say. But St Mary's top of the first division, you know, flying high. You'd expect them to be able to have enough quality to get through that.
Yeah. Craig, do you see Ayr pulling off a shot?
No, I'm afraid. like you've all said, that on their day, when they can put the strongest team out, they've got a very, very strong team that could quite comfortably stay up in the first division. But I just think St Mary's will be too strong for them this week.
Next game sees Onken host Peel. Obviously, another one of these first versus second division games. Onken obviously was Dave. I said in the my preview in the paper, their only consistency is their inconsistency.
Yeah, absolutely, it's such a Jekyll and Hyde.
I think they've beaten yourselves. They've beaten Ayr, I think, and I think they've beaten St John's. But then they've taken hammer. But then Mills, it was Union Mills, sorry. But they've taken hammerings against. You beat them 9-1, didn't you?
7-1.
And then Mills beat them 9-1. And then obviously last week they lost 7-1 to Foxdale. So if you were David Rees, you'd be tearing your hair out, wouldn't you? Because that must be so frustrating to beat the same team for 1 week and then get absolutely pummeled by them.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember watching Onken take on Geordies in this stage of the FA Cup a few years ago.
The Ringham Derby,
yeah. And you know what? They played well. They did well in that game. They stuck at it. Peel, obviously, they'll be buoyed by that Old Firm win last week. Although, obviously, you've got to mention that Rhys Oates is out for foreseeable because it looks like he's damaged his cruciate ligaments.
So it's a long road back.
So he's a huge loss to them. There are doubts as to whether Lee Gale's going to play anytime soon. So, you know, it's not going to be the full strength Peel team. But either way, you look at the players they've got to bring into that squad.
They've got some good youngsters coming through, haven't they? And that maybe gave them the opportunity, especially in a game like this. No disrespect to Onken, where they could maybe try a few different.
Absolutely, things. Someone that you guys will know, Danny Lane came off the bench to replace Rhys last week, and he did really well leading the line against the tough Russian defence. So this will be a good opportunity for him, I think. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get on the score sheet. So yeah, I think the Westerners will be too strong, but
Peel favourites for you in this one, Ol?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, like you say with Onken, it's sort of been a bit strange. They sort of picked up a lot of good results early on in the season and were sort of in the mix. And recently, like I said, they've taken a few surprising sort of bad results, really. And the one that surprised me, though, is last week at home, you wouldn't expect them to sort of get beat by that score at home by anybody, really. They're normally quite strong at home. But even so, like I said, I would expect Peel, even with a few missing, to have enough to take that.
Craig, Peel to win?
Yeah, Peel for me, yeah.
Right, Douglas Royal take on Maloo. And again, the draw has thrown up a lot of first versus second division games this time around. Douglas Royal, I watched them last week against Lexi, and did you see my tweets last week, Dave?
Yes.
So I'd forgotten Glen Road is being dug up extensively after obviously the flood damage in November, was it? I can't remember now. So I turned up on the cusp as always, and to find that Glen Road was blocked, so I had to go all the way back round through all that Lexi and stuff. So I missed the first 3 minutes of the game. Now, stupidly, I walked past John Aubrey, obviously Harry's dad. Said hello, but didn't think, oh, ask him what the score is, because I thought it was only 3 minutes, no one will score. No one ever scores early in Manx football. So game went on, Royal rattled in a couple of goals, and thinking, Royal are on for a good result here. Then Laxey hit a couple back, and it was, I thought, 3-2 to Royal at half-time. John walked past me again at half-time, and I said, that's 3-2, good game this. And he went, 3-all, because I'd missed Max Murley's opening minute score. apologies to anyone who was trying to keep updated in the first half last week anyway. But yes,
this is why we've taken you off match duty this weekend.
Yeah, that's why you're suspended for a week. Yeah. Royal played, really impressed me. Obviously, they're just fearless, those kids.
Even when they went down to 10 men, as you said.
Yeah. Craig Dorman went off after 24 minutes for an instant off the ball. We've been clarified by referee Matt Shaw this week. But yeah, they played for two-thirds of that match with 10 men and still gave it a really good goal. Sam Baines in midfield, it was fantastic. Jamie Agnew up front, Tom Chattel.
There's a lot of talent in that.
Taylor Andrews, James Callow, the fullback, looked good. Dylan Wood, the kids have all played really well. They just ran out of steam a bit at the end. And credit to Laxey, Jordan Cooper, give him a chance, he's going to put it away. He's the Carl Hickey of the Premier League in many respects. But Royal impressed me, and I think they'll be wanting to go in a cup run this and Maloo. Although they'll be up for this, I think Royal should win it, shouldn't they?
Well, you mentioned Onken being inconsistent, Maloo very inconsistent, especially with the lineups. Obviously, they've had a bit of a transitional year, haven't they? So it's difficult to know what sort of team they're going to put out. They've got some good players there, but yeah, Royal. I mean, as you mentioned, those youngsters, they've performed well all season, haven't they? And hopefully, the results will start to come for them. So yeah, I think they'll be too good.
Can you see Maloo getting anything out of this one all?
Unfortunately for them, I don't think I can. No,
no.
I
mean, you call me hat.
I mean, got a realistic hat on, I think, to be honest. No, I mean, we played Royal and Friendly a little while back, and like I said, a lot of young lads, but a lot of talent there, and you expect them to be able to take care of Maloo, I hope.
Yeah, it's the only thing with Royal, they've just got to stick at it, because it's going to be a tough season this year, and if they stick together, which, you know, is a lot in Manx football, if you can get a group to stick together after a difficult season, it makes such a difference, doesn't it? Because the next season is always going to be better, isn't it? But Maloo, Craig, you know, obviously they'll be trying to get a cup set here. But can you see them doing anything?
No, I can't, to be honest. No, like Ola said, we played Douglas Royal in a friendly when we had a bye in the previous round, and they, I think it was 5-0 or 5-1. They beat us. I mean, it was 3/3 instead of 45, and they had the win for two of those. But they. There are some really good young players there. It seems like a lot of them play together for the island.
Yeah, 18.
So they're very comfortable playing with each other, and they look quite dangerous.
Yeah. Well, they're quick, and they're also very comfortable on the ball. There were a lot of times I thought, obviously, Colby likes Mike Fernandez in midfield, that the big unit's putting a bit of pressure on them, but they played themselves out of it rather than panic. And they really did impress me last week in defeat. Right, next one is Ramsey versus Old Boys, the game Eric's going to. Now, all Premier League tie. Ramsey obviously have one eye on the league, with they're only 3 points above that bottom spot in Paul Rose. But both of these teams, obviously, this as I love Ollie's term, free hit. It's a nice, it's just a go out and enjoy themselves on Saturday, isn't it?
It is. I mean, if you look at the Premier League table, they are right next to each other. Old Boys are only one place above Ramsey, but there is a 10-point gap there. Obviously, Old Boys will go into this as favourites. You know, they've had some good performances in recent weeks, although they were on the end of a bit of a hammering by Corinthians last weekend. But yeah, Ramsey, again, we do see it. a good cup result could be the kickstart for a season, can't it? And Ramsey will be hoping for that. You know, as you say, they are dangerously close to the relegation zone. At home at Ballyclone, you know, they'll fancy their chances in this one. I think it'll be close.
I was speaking to Eric on the phone earlier this week when he said he was going to this game, and he'd been actually watched Ramsey at the weekend, didn't he, against Dafka?
Yes.
And he was saying that some of the Ramsey faithful have been talking about Ballyclone pitch. Now, obviously, it's been a bit hit and miss, isn't it? I think he's tried to watch them three times at home, and every game's been called off. But apparently, I don't know if you know, that Moray Park Lake's been drained at the moment.
Okay.
And that helps the drainage of Ballyclone because the water's got so much coming off. So, although, again, don't wish to steal the thunder from Dave Reed's the weather, there is more rain forecast. But this one should go ahead, I would say, with the drain being the lake being drained. So,
fingers crossed.
Ollie, do you think, who do you think in this one? This looks tight to me. I think this could go the full distance.
I agree, actually. I think we could see extra time in this one. Like I said, both teams quite near each other. Obviously, all boys a little bit further up in the league. But yeah, Ramsey at home, you know. I think probably extra time and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
All boys for you, Greg?
Might go for Ramsey, actually.
Ooh.
I thought last season when we played them and they got promoted, they were strong. They looked like they could get promoted and push on. So it's quite surprising that they're kind of struggling so much at the moment. But I think Old Boys are having a tough season as well. So Ramsey at home, I reckon they could pull it off. Yeah.
Home win. Mark a one down on your coupon. Right, final game in the FA Cup on Saturday. See St George's welcome Paul Rose to Glencoetchie Road. Paul Rose, obviously, at the foot of the Premier League standings at the moment with a 1 point to the name, a draw early in the season. This, to me, looks a St George's win all day, Dave, but this is where you come up with some hope for the Paul Rose supporters.
Oh, there's always hope when you've got a team with the likes of Steve Priestnell in it. You know, they've got a good young team there as well. There's some good youngsters coming through at Pulley, but look at Geordie's. I mean, they just carry on, don't they? They just do what Geordie's do. Yeah, Cal Morrissey's obviously back and he got a hat-trick last week. You look at the talent in that Geordie squad. It's blended nicely with the youngsters that have come through. This would be a pretty comfortable Geordie's win, I think.
Home win all?
I think so, yeah. Like I said, with the talent of like Priestnell's in there, I fancy Paul Rose to score potentially, but I can't see them keeping St George's out, so I fancy a reasonably comfortable home win there.
Gretchen?
Yeah. Very comfortable.
All on the home win bandwagon there. There's three games in the best league in Europe, otherwise known as JCK Division 2 on Saturday. Starting with a game that involves two of the top
five.
Thanks, Dave, for counting that up in the head for me. St John's welcome Braddon to Mulney Cloy for the 2:30 PM kickoff, just to keep hammering that point home. Lads, obviously this is a game that you're probably hoping for a draw in.
Exactly that, yeah. Just about to say that, yeah. A draw would be nice for us on a personal level. I mean, I would probably, if you had to tip off the fence, I'd say maybe St John's just nick it at home. Yeah. I think, like I said, we played St John's at our place, and it was. I didn't play the Foxtel game, so I wasn't commenting on that. But it was a tough game for us. You know, with two good teams going at it, and I think they might just have slightly too much of Braddon at home. But potentially a draw would do us.
Chris, you have the same thinking? Or?
Yeah, I agree. They'll probably be just too strong at home, but a draw would be
ideal.
Preferable for us. Yeah.
Braddon, Dave, have sort of had a bit of a wobble in recent weeks. They're not hitting their straps as much as they were in the early part of the season. They lost to Youth in the Cup a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah, they lost to Ayr last weekend, 5-2. I mean, you know, Ayr are obviously one of the pace setters, aren't they? But, I think Sir John's, as Ollie says, that, you know, they're going to start as favourites at home. They're 3 points ahead of the Swans at the moment, and they've got two games in hand. They've only lost once all season, which, you know, there's only a couple of clubs across the island that have only lost that amount. So, yeah, I think the Saints will be too strong. But Braddon, you know, again, they've exceeded expectations in some ways this season. Obviously, with everything that happened last year, to get a first team out this year, and they're doing well. They might just get a top four place, but I don't think they'll challenge the promotion spot.
Emails Michael. Obviously, again, I'm sure the boys will be hoping for a Michael win in this one. But is that a possibility, Dave? Obviously, they've got Los Galacticos are back in tandem. They've lost one in the form of Callum, but gained one in the form of Andy Glover. Kieran McNulty's just chipping away at that silver boot total. Obviously, Carl's miles away ahead, but I think that's 18 or 19 now that Kieran scored.
Pekka's having a good season, and you mentioned Glover. He got a hat trick last week as well. In that match against Malou, so yeah, I mean, no side's going to want to go up against those two up front, are they? But, and the likes of Owen Hurt, obviously we talked about him a lot last year, Nick's son, he grabbed a goal last week, he's still doing well. So Michael, yeah, they've certainly got the talent to do it. We saw them push Dafka all the way in the cup, as we've already mentioned. Yeah, this is going to be a tough game, this one. But Union Mills, look at the firepower they've got. They're a good side, and I think they'll just have a bit too much about them.
Mills to sneak it at all?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously with Pekka and Andy Glover up front, you'd fancy Michael to have some firepower and get some goals in there, but can they keep him out sort of with the firepower of Union Mills? Union Mills at home, again, you'd expect them to probably just have enough to win that, but if Michael could get a result, that'd be helpful for us. Yeah.
Craig, do you think Michael can get something out of this one?
It's probably a bit closer than it would first look. Yeah, in Mills at home, but I think they'll have too much for Michael in the end. We've had two games against Union Mills this season that have been close either way, a couple of grinds. So yeah. I expect Union Mills to win that one.
And they certainly do. They want to keep in that promotion race, don't they, Dave? Absolutely. These are the games that you drop points are going to hurt them a bit later in the season.
Yeah, definitely. It's so tight there. So yeah, they'll have to get some points in this one.
Another two teams close in the tables towards the bottom end of the league. Jim's versus Douglas and District. There's only a point between these two, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, Jim's are one ahead at the moment. The goal difference is identical. They're -27 each. So it all points to a close game. You know, we talk about D&D. Obviously, they've always got the result in them, haven't they? We say it every single week. You guys played Jim's last week. What did you make of them?
In patches, they look like quite a decent team. They do play decent football. They had a quite dangerous, fast young fella up front last week who caused a few problems. But they always seem to have an issue where they get on each other's backs.
Oh, right.
And once they've conceded a few, it just all falls apart. We scored maybe three in the space of 3 minutes in the second half last week. So if they can just keep it together this week, then I'd fancy them at home against D&D. But it's because Jim's is a difficult place to go. The small pitch on the slope, and it's always quite rough up there. So I think Jim's win.
Ollie?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play last week, unfortunately, I was injured, but I did watch the game, and yeah, like Craig said, in patches, I was impressed with them. They sort of had an idea of how they were looking to play, and did create some half-decent chances. Craig saved a penalty from them last week, so that was a bit of a good for us. But no, I think at home, D&D haven't scored that many this season, I don't think, either, so I would back Jim's to just maybe sneak that, if not maybe a draw.
Yeah, I think you mentioned, Craig, about that young player up front. That's probably Ross Crawford, who I saw play a few weeks ago. He's a very talented young player. He'll cause problems for a lot of defences, so yeah, they'll be looking to him to get the goals.
So what are we thinking, Dave? Maybe a 3-2, 4-2, Jim's? Or
I'm going to stick with the draw. I'm going to sit in my fence there. And,
the Dave Norton Memorial Fence is back in business. Right, before we go, lads, Combi Corner, Dave.
Your favourite time of the week?
Well, of course.
Except for the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, Combi 1 leaders, St Mary's, they made it 13 wins out of 13, thanks to a 7-4 victory at Castletown. Alex Harrison, the first team player manager, was at it for the Combi. He got a couple of goals, as did Joe Burkquist and Kane Dooley and Brian Crellin also scored. Alex Crawley got a brace for Castletown. Tom Moore and James Dawson also scored.
I think I saw a tweet from Castletown about Alex Crawley's goals. It's 304th, I think, for Castletown, that one.
Some go with that, isn't it? Do you reckon we'll see him back in the first team next year?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? It'd be nice for Castletown to get a first team out next year.
Definitely. Corinthians remain second, 3 points behind, after they beat Old Boys 5-0. Five different scorers in this one. Greg Smith, Jordan Cowan, Tom Lancaster, Kai Jones, and an own goal. Rush and Earth third after winning the Combi All Firm 3-2, and the opposite of obviously the first team. In that one, Andrew Moody, Harvey Neal, and Jordan Watson scored for the Spaniards, and Aaron Gustain bagged another two for the Westerners. Mm-hmm. Wonder how many Combi goals he's got now for them. Elsewhere, St George's thrashed Moran 9-2 in Crosby. Noah Dale Beaton got a couple from Moran, but Morgan Naylor grabbed four for Geordies and also scored with Nathan Cardy, Lucas James, Ilium Long, Charlie Gibson, and Jordan Corkish.
Another raft of youngsters being groomed at St George's, but that's not quite the right expression, is it? Being developed in the Combi there.
Laxey were too strong for Douglas Royal at Battle of Lecce. Will Burkquist got a hat trick for them. Don Brennan scored for the Whites. And then Douglas Athletic edged past Ramsey by the odd goal in 7 at Ballaclone. Amongst the scorers there, Martin Tor, the evergreen Martin Tor, got a hat-trick for the Northerners, but Drew Ward got two, Conor Dempsey and Tyler Dyche completed the scoring for the Pigs.
Conor and Drew, two experienced players for Dafka there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In Combi 2, well, Youthy just march on. They won once again. This time it was only 4-1 over Governors, so a good result for the Ben Mahaig outfit. Amongst the scorers there, we had, if I can find it, Harry Grant got two, Jack Gilbert and Max Sibbald. Scored the others, and Josh Cushing scored for Govs. They've now increased their lead further after Dean D, who was second going into the weekend. They lost 4-1 at St John's. Ricky Pearson scored for Dean D, but Liam Harrison got a brace. Joe Savage and Charlie James also scored.
Liam Harrison, the fossil, scored up quite a few goals for St John's in the past.
Yeah,
and in the present. Yeah,
absolutely. That result elevated Braddon up to second. They grabbed a 3-all draw away at United. Sam Halpin, Jamie Spicer and Jake Wilson scored the goals for the Swans. I don't have any details of the air scorers.
They did tweet them through, but it was too late for the paper, I believe.
Oh dear, shockers. James that remained fourth after a high scoring 7-5 win over Colby. Sorry lads, I have to say it, but
7-5, that's peak Combi 2 scoreline, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mark Connor got 4 goals for James.
Sparky.
Yep. Shane McCormick got 2 and Tom Gerrard got the other. Ashley Blake got a hat-trick for the Moonlighters, and Andrew Hughes and Nigel Goldsmith also scored.
Yeah, we had a tweet about Nigel Goldsmith. Did he give away a penalty on scoring on goal or something as well?
That sounds like Nigel. Yeah. we'll just say he definitely did that. And just
it was from Charlie Omar sent that in, so I didn't know how reliable a source that was.
Yeah, it might have been Charlie did that, and he's just trying to blame Nigel. But one of them definitely did something like that. Anyway.
Ash Blake in the Combi, though. It's a nice luxury player to be playing in the Combi too, isn't it?
Yeah, just a cheeky little hat-trick for him, yep. Elsewhere, Foxdale Edge passed Onken 2-1. Callum Wade got both goals for them, and Ben Kelly scored for Onken. And Malou got the better of Michael United 2-0, thanks to a brace from Andrew Barber.
Right, the bit we've all been waiting for. Dave reads the weather.
Yeah.
As you glance out the window, lovingly.
Lovingly, yeah. As you say, it is grey outside today, and it's not great over the next day or so until Friday lunchtime. There's going to be lots of rain overnight. But it will then brighten up in the afternoon on Friday, and Saturday will remain mostly dry and bright, although there is going to be some strong winds around, which may make things interesting.
At what point are you setting off for Foxdale? Are you going to have a tent there on the Friday night?
Yeah, I'm going to the bottle tomorrow night. I'm going to chill out there and have a few drinks. Yeah, why not?
Apparently, remember we had Rory Poole in a couple of seasons ago, he said the showers at Foxdale are legendary. So,
oh yeah, I don't really want to find out about that. No,
can you offer anything on that?
Oh no, legendary in a bad way though.
Oh, I think he said in a good way, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
He said they were like a pressure washer, because so, obviously you said it's quite a muddy pitch, but you come in caked in mud and it'd be off. It was like, what they call the Karcher power washer or something.
Yeah.
It probably is actually in Foxdale, just press the lever and away you go. But
can't provide any insight. I pride myself on not having to play Foxdale away most seasons.
I was injured for that one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or suspended. best showers in the. We should ask this more often. The best showers in Manx football. Colby's Craig, obviously you've got quite a new facility down there, so it must be pretty decent.
Colby's got to be up there.
When Dickie switches that water on.
Exactly, yeah.
Anywhere else stand out? He's looking perplexed. See, we should have given him more time.
Yeah, should we give us more time to think about this?
Because the first season we did the podcast, we were all about what's your favourite takeaway.
Yeah,
and that seems to have just tailed off a little bit. Yeah. So we need to bring something back. So
your favourite shower. So any of this bring to mind?
I don't know really. St John's is not bad, I guess. Yeah. But we'll go with that one, I think.
St John's. Craig, still, you can't think, can you?
Put a back our own club,
yeah. Put him so on the spot there.
Yeah. Right, lads, thanks very much for coming in. Good luck for
thanks
Saturday.
Thanks very much.
And good luck for the rest of the season. Yeah. If you get out of the best league in Europe, you'll have done well.
Sounds like you want to stay in it if it's the best league in Europe.
Yeah.
You do. It's never dull, is it?
That's why Hattie refuses to report on the Premier League.
Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.